We're still in Exodus 12, now verse 23.
The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyed to come in unto your houses to smite.
So what is different here, Thomas? What is different in this verse compared to the other one? Who noted the difference? There is an introduction of something different in this verse. It's not only as verse 13, where the Lord sees the blood and pass over, but he says the same thing. The Lord will see the blood and will not suffer the destroyer to enter into the house. So this is what I was asking you. What did he do that night? What did it mean that he will see the blood and pass over? He will not suffer the destroyer to enter that house. So it seems like the work of God at that night was not only that he's seeing the blood. So he says, I'm not angry at this house because of the blood and I'm not going to apply judgment. But actually, I will protect this house. He was actually doing an act of work to protect this house. Okay, let's go to verse 23. And Jehovah will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroying to come into your houses to smite you. The word pass over here is a very interesting word. I don't know if you had a chance to study the origin of that word, but it's most likely an ancient Egyptian word, not really a Hebrew word. And it occurs in the Word of God 7 times. 3 of them in this chapter. But I want you to look at the 4th one in Isaiah 31 and verse 5. Can we go to that chapter? Isaiah 31 verse 5. Where's Andre? Can you read that for us? Isaiah 31 verse 5.
As birds with outstretched wings, so Jehovah of hosts over Jerusalem. Covering, he will also deliver. Passing over, he will rescue.
What is he talking about here? The Lord delivering, saving Israel, right? Isn't that the same subject we're talking about all day? Correct? Don't sit down. Come on. Isn't that the same subject we're talking about? How he's doing it here? As a bird?
With outstretched wings.
So can we deduct from this, because that's the same word, Passover, that we're talking about. Can we deduct from this that what, please have a seat. That when the Lord that night saw the blood, it was not that he's not angry. He was actually delighted. He was actually satisfied. He was actually so satisfied that he himself took the initiative to protect these homes and not let anything touch them. When the Lord delivers us, it's not a mere act of lack of angry. It's an act of delight. It's act of joy. It's act of somebody who's satisfied to deliver. Brothers and sisters, we are not worshiping an angry God. We are not worshiping a God that has demands that are not fulfilled. We are not worshiping God who's still looking at us with that eye of asking things that we can never do. And every time we run away from him because of guilt. Guilt makes our spiritual life stand still. We become either somebody who's running away from God or somebody who's creating a worship that only treats their own guilt. And we'll never know what really a true relationship with God is. The Holy Spirit never works in somebody with a guilty conscience, unless to make them realize that they are in the wrong spot. But when I say works, I mean works in the sense of taking me to see the Lord Jesus. Talk to me about the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit will either talk to me about myself when I'm in the wrong place or talk to me about the Lord when I'm in the right place. Which one do you want to spend your time with? So how is it that sometimes we misunderstand a fundamental concept about our God? Who is that God that we're worshiping? We have everything that we need to know Him. We have everything that we need to live for Him. We have everything that we need to be in peace and happy and satisfied and fulfilled and free and live as untouchable, even if we are poor or tired or injured or sick, or those things doesn't apply to us. We belong to a different realm of reality. Oh, you're just saying this because you never lived through hard time. No. Nobody doesn't live through hard time. Did you ever see a person that lives without problems in this world? Tell me who, I'll follow them. I walk into a hospital every day. And in a hospital, I learned that I'm ashamed sometimes of myself that I feel I have problem. When I see all these beds full of people, many of them in our age, many of them had dreams and aspirations and hopes, and everything is being shattered in front of them because of something they never expected. And in this place, you learn how to feel that it's a shame that you think there is a problem strong enough or big enough to stop you from being the happiest person that you can ever be 24/7. Why? Give me a reason. Why? The only answer is we really don't know what is the true God. Who is the true God that we worship? What is that Christianity that we know very well, but maybe not? One of the problems that may hurt us is to take Christ from somebody else. Borrow Christ from somebody you think is a good Christian and you want to be like them. You know what I mean? Pray like them. Speak like them. Sing like them. Because you're so impacted by them and you like that life. You like to be like this person. Who did this in the Bible? You're a psychologist, so I'm going to go into your world and correct me if I'm wrong. Who did this in the Bible? You remember Jonathan, who loved to be like David so much, but never had the spiritual energy to be like David? Jonathan took everything that David had and put it on himself. And he looked at David and said, "Me and you are one." What is that called in psychology? I'm not a psychologist, but I'll tell you why I need that term today. It's called identification. I identify myself with somebody that I feel I want to be like this, but I can't. But I'll do my best to look like them, talk like them.